From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is a Red Friday episode, although it's not as red as we would want it to be, with the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl next week. But we are here nonetheless. I want to give a shout out to all the new listeners. Thank you very much. We really do appreciate it. I do apologize. My voice is kind of gone between yelling at the TV during the last Chiefs game and a cold. I apologize. But Ryan and I are here, and we have something to talk about today.
What would that be?
Well, right after you and I got done recording Friday's episode, maybe about 15 minutes after, it gets announced that Kansas City has hired their next defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo.
Okay, so all that work that we did, well, we'll talk about that and have that discussion for next week, folks. Look for that. And we'll probably follow it up with something on Chiefs Digest as well. Make sure you're checking out Matt and everything Chris is doing over there. As well as Rogue Analytics is starting up the draft process, and I'm on RGR Football all the time. So check that out on YouTube.
And nobody cares about the draft. Come on.
Right, right. It's not that time. Well, the draft just got more important for this team. I'll tell you that. So long story short, let's review. Rex, I still love you, but other than that, so Spags, still in his 50s, not a huge leap forward in terms of the age of the coordinator, billed as aggressive, always has been, runs a lot of blitz, runs that 4-3 under a lot of the time. Although he's been used, known to use the over as well, and that just shifts where the defensive tackle lines up, basically. Keys to what that means for this roster come down to the 4-3, the defensive tackles are going to line up in varying positions, but you're still going to have an outside three, maybe a four, maybe a five technique somewhere in there, and you're going to have a shaded one tech, and well, these guys have to penetrate more.
I will say this, we're all assuming at this point, and this is going to be the last episode we're doing for Friday, so unless it comes out late Thursday
you
night.
You say that now.
Yeah. We are assuming they're going to be switching to a 4-3, so, which would make sense considering Spagnuolo's history, and I would think it's a foregone conclusion, but I guess I don't want to say that it's 100% going to happen.
Well, it's not a foregone conclusion, you're correct. But it's very, very likely chosen.
And I'm with you on that completely.
And the good thing that it feeds into is coaches don't change their stripes that often. But this team in particular has played so little in the base defense that it shouldn't be a big deal. Teams still need to be in that nickel quite a bit. And it doesn't matter whether you're a 4-3 or a 3-4 in terms of when you have to get into that personnel package, you go to a four-man front anyway. So now it's really about moving those pieces around. And when you are looking to stop the run, when you are an early run defense, first downs in particular, how do you line up? Where are you going to shift? Who are going to use in what role? And we'll go through all the intricacies of the 4-3 under in the coming weeks. But needless to say, there are a couple of players that are going to be out of position in making that change. The tackles, I don't think so. I think Derek Nnadi, as well as Chris Jones, we all know what he can do, but they can both penetrate. That's the key to having that inside play for that 4-3 is they have to disrupt more. And personally, I like that aspect of the 4-3. I still feel like the athletes are better paced at the second level. I'm still more of a 3-4 guy, but that's fine. More aggression in any way for this defense, I think, is a good thing.
I agree with that. The one thing I will say is that you look at this hiring and it is going to pose some questions until we find out that they're for sure switching to a 4-3. There's questions to be had because you look at D Ford. I don't know that he really fits a 4-3. Can he play in a 4-3? Yes, but he's undersized. Now there's roles he can play, but is it really worth the $15 million for the franchise tag?
That's the big question. Cause you're right. He can pass rush as a wide nine. He can pass rush from just outside. It doesn't matter. He can do both. It's that base defense. And then you talk about, can he play in the base or does that become Breland Speaks' responsibility? Because more and more so, as I look at this, this looks like after last season and the collapse against the Titans, you had to understand that this was a likelihood in 19, getting ready for 19. So it makes me wonder more and more if Brett Veach, who's been under attack a little bit for the Breland Speaks selection, especially spending that kind of capital on him, didn't have a plan the whole time, that they knew that they had a couple of aspects and they were looking to get bigger ends, not the 3-4 outside backer, but bigger actual defensive ends from the 4-3. If he didn't have that plan in his head all along.
Well, and then you look at the Anthony Hitchens signing, and Hitchens played in the 4-3 in Dallas. So there's questions there as well. One thing I will throw out, Seth tweeted this out there. The DVOA of defenses that Spagnuolo has DC'd are 13th, 8th, 32nd, 30th, 2nd, and 24th.
Yeah. So, it's all or nothing.
Yeah. He's pretty all over the board.
Yeah. And you know, and you can set up a couple of those circumstances. One of those years was he took over in New Orleans directly after, Bounty Gate. Which I still am shocked that Greg Williams has a job. He shouldn't be in this league. I'm just going to say it out loud. That's ridiculous. But that's a lot to handle. You know, there are other circumstances around his good teams too. But I will say this. The one thing that gives me a positive feeling about this in general is that we know they have to revamp the safety position, whether it's the young guys that are on this team or finding new ones. And Spags was the coach when Landon Collins emerged as the player that he became. So I think that's a positive sign in the way that he can identify talent and how to use it. I think that's the key that we've talked about going back seasons is using your talent to their specifications.
Oh man, Landon Collins in the Kansas City uniform would be amazing. But the other thing I will say is that another thing that I look as a positive is Spagnuolo is also the coach that was the New York Giants defensive coordinator when they stopped the Patriots from going undefeated.
And that's a nice thing to have, right?
So,
especially next year when you can see seeing them again.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. There's going to be a lot of questions that we're going to have to answer over the next couple of weeks when we get more information about how this is going to play out. And that will give us a lot of indication on how things are going to end up with some of the Chiefs players now and maybe free agents to come.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk about what it means for some of the other players in terms of their role and what they like to do versus what Spags likes to do. Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. So if we flip and go to the back of the defense, clearly there's a major rebuild going on in the secondary. We talked about the safety aspect. But at corner as well, there's going to be a slew of new guys. And you can see that with aggression, a lot of cover one comes along with that, a lot of man defense. I still expect them to go looking for that. But Spags is known to play some cover three as well and mix it up some. And I feel like what he likes to do is get corners that can get out on islands or that he feels can. You remember when everybody was tied up about Aaron Ross and why he was playing so well and then what that continued and didn't turn into. And I feel like that was partly the way that Spagnuolo used him. And I feel like if he gets a guy like Ward or whoever the replacement corner is going to be on the other side, I feel like he's going to be a guy that's going to put a lot of emphasis on them. And if he can get them to react, get them to be either more physical, which he speaks about in some of the things that you can hear him say throughout media and whatnot when he talks about his philosophy, I think that's a positive thing for the Chiefs all the way around.
I could just tell the excitement in your voice from hearing you talk about aggression. And I'm not trying to say I'm not excited about it because I am. It's one thing that really annoyed me with the Chiefs defense over the past couple of years is they just have not been aggressive enough. What is going to be interesting to me is to see how all these pieces fit that the Chiefs have right now. Because I do believe Houston can play a D-end role and Speaks can play a D-end role and Jones and Nnadi are going to be fine on the line regardless of where you have them or regardless. Hitchens can play a linebacker role. Dorian O'Daniel may be able to play a linebacker role and maybe even Reggie Ragland can play a linebacker role in a 4-3. So really, it is going to... Right. Possibly. I'm not saying necessarily, but it's
right.
Possible.
And there are questions for both those guys, both O'Daniel and Reggie, just because when you run a 4-3, especially if you're going to play zone defense in the back, when you talk about trying to cover, you know, go to a cover three or a cover four where you have all your corners and safeties falling off, trying to guard quarters of the field, it leaves you three underneath defenders to really cover the intermediate routes. That puts a lot of stress on those guys being able to get out to the flats. O'Daniel clearly has the speed, but does he have the bulk to hold up where there's only three linebackers on the field? That's the question mark there. Reggie, although I have to say Reggie came along, two interceptions to close out the season, played better in the pass game than we've ever seen him play before. That's going to be a significant factor as where he can
and
line
finally
up.
Getting healthy at the end of the year.
Right.
Because remember, he started with a knee issue at the beginning of the year. So I think that's key as well. And obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with Eric Berry. That's still a big question mark. Daniel Sorensen might be a big question mark, too. Was Sorensen a Bob Sutton guy, or was Sorensen a Andy Reid guy and Brett Veach guy? It's hard to know.
I don't know whose guy he is, but I think he's going to be a Spags guy. I'm going to tell you that right now, because Spagnuolo likes to send the safety blitz. And one thing that we've agreed on over the years, as much as I've given Dan crap about his play in the back, and yes, there were still problems with him playing deep safety in the last playoff game, and I highlighted that in last week's video, but I've always liked him up in the box as a safety, not as a linebacker, because he has some blitz ability. I think Spagnuolo's going to like that quite a bit. So for the first time in several years, I feel like Sorensen's more likely to be on this roster in opening day 19 than not.
Well, and that's certainly a possibility. But again, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen with Eric Berry. We don't know what's going to happen with other different players. Is Eric Murray going to fit in this defense? Or are they going to, you know, what's Armani Watts going to do? And then you have the other issue that you kind of brought up, and we don't know what's going to happen with, I mean, Nelson. I can't see Steven Nelson back in Kansas City in 2019. So there's going to be a corner position open. Who's going to fill that? We'll have to find out. Hopefully it's somebody in the draft and they're able to go young at that place.
And I have to feel that's the way it's going to be, because I agree with you. Somebody's going to give Steven Nelson a contract bigger than what the Chiefs can afford. The free agency thing that we talked about that was going to be today's show will be next week, folks. But just long and short, between the Houston existing contract, what you have to do with D Ford, and trying to get Chris Jones signed, it doesn't leave a whole lot of money for free agency
acquisition. And I have to say this because it was brought up in Kansas City media on Friday. You don't wait to pay Chris Jones. You pay him right now.
Yeah, the sooner the better, or you end up spending more, a la Houston and Barry.
He is, and I hate comparing him to this because I think he's a great player in his own right, but he is just a little bit below Aaron Donald. He is that much of an impact player, and give him another year or two, he may be up there right next to Aaron Donald. He is still improving.
Yeah, that's true. And we will see. And like I said, folks, we'll have that discussion in its entirety for you next week, because we already recorded it about half an hour ago. So I agree with you there. And the question marks still come back to me. They have to find that other corner. It's going to be tough to spend a lot of money. So you got to find an up and comer, or you got to draft somebody high. So I think this, right now, I think this change in particular, what it does for me, I still have concerns about Reggie because of his overall speed. I love Reggie as a run-stuffing backer. I think there's a role for him still on this team. I just don't know if it has to be the Sam, because a lot of times when you get a 4-3 shifted, that Sam backer is the guy that comes up towards the line of scrimmage, and it ends up looking, in terms of alignment, a lot like a shifted 3-4 front. So there is an aspect where a bigger, stronger guy who has some rush ability, which Reggie has demonstrated this season, can still have a role as the Sam. The guy that I think has to cover the most ground is the middle linebacker. And that's clearly something that I think Hitchens is going to be apt to pull off. We've seen him run fairly well, and I think he's going to be more comfortable doing it. I think that's going to be the key for him.
Certainly should be. And there, you know, there's another side of this. With this move happening now, if Kansas City likes Reggie Ragland, and this is something else we talked about that on a show that didn't actually end up airing for tomorrow, Breland Speaks has a chance to change his body type. Reggie Ragland has a chance to change his a little bit as well. he can afford to slim down and maybe make that change, knowing ahead of time that he's got that coming for next season.
Yo, Reg, don't go to Mexico City. Just saying.
Yeah. Keep your knees
healthy. Stay out of old Mexico. But this also changes the free agency look, because you're looking at a whole slew. And I really do think that as desperate as the situation is in the secondary, the linebackers are the bigger concern in terms of getting fit, because Dee Ford can rush from the outside. I don't think you could stand him up as an off-ball linebacker in a standard 4-3 look.
He's not good enough.
No, I don't think so. And that calls into question the priority for the franchise tag. It also calls into question, do you have to go out and get other guys? There is a whole slew of people that can play off ball. There's a couple of names. I'm not going to drop them now because I'm trying to get a little more research done into injuries and whatnot. But there are quite a number of 4-3 linebackers that are going to be out there on that free agent market that I think will be affordable.
Yeah, and there's one free agent that I don't think is actually going to be an option anymore that we had talked about previously in Shane Ray. If they are switching to 4-3, I don't think he fits in this defense anymore.
Agree. I don't think he can hold up the point of attack at all.
Yep. And that's the biggest problem with Dee Ford is you can't put him down on the line because he can't hold up at the point of attack.
And he's demonstrated that. As much as I feel like he did take a step forward this season, even in that portion, it's still not good enough. You can't rely on it.
Nope.
So that said, let's take our second break, and we'll finish up about your new defense coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo.
We have a powerful new feed to tell you about. Check out Locked On NFL Net on Twitter. It is all the inside information from our hosts for all the Locked On shows for all of the NFL teams in one Twitter feed. That's LockedOnNFL.net on Twitter. Check that out today.
So in the end, what it comes down to is whether it was Rex or now that it's Steve, and you know, until I meet the man, I don't know what I'm going to call him. I'm just going to oscillate around here, folks. So just bear with me. The key is whoever it was, it's going to be more aggressive than Bob was. It's going to be, at least in my mind, a younger guy with a less rigid set of rules that he wants to adhere to that can use his players' talents. Fuller has played a lot of zone defense. You might see this team play more zone in coming years.
Well, I want to throw out there as well, the big thing on this hire to me is it says they went out and they hired somebody that can go out and run the defense themselves. Reed doesn't have to be looking over the guy's shoulder. And obviously right. That wasn't going to be an issue with you know, Rex Ryan or some of the more experienced coaches. But if you went young, it could have been.
Right.
Now, the other side of this that we haven't even touched on and that we maybe need to talk about for just a minute is, what does this mean for the rest of the defense or the defensive staff? Now, the secondary, I don't think it really is going to change too much. I don't see Al Harris and Emmett Thomas going anywhere because I think they're versatile enough. And it does affect DBs, but it doesn't affect DBs near as much as it's going to affect linebackers and defensive linemen. But agreed. You're going to have to make some, you might have to make some changes with your coaches.
Right. And particularly the linebacker coaches, because they have been 3-4 specific under Bob. When they were in New York, they were 3-4 under Rex. You may see some change there. And Smith's been credited with getting this pass rush tuned up. So that's a tough one. If you're just talking about coaching pass rush, it's a different thing for defensive ends. It changes the lineup. It might change it for Britt Reed too, because when you're talking about two gapping, taking on double teams, being a 3-4 D line, that's different than what you're talking about with the 4-3 combination. I expect us to get some news about some people departing this staff, under Spagnuolo. And I'm sure he's got other guys under history that he wants to bring in as well. Could Emmett Thomas retire? It's possible. Could you see any number of people come in? Joey Porter's out there if you want a linebacker coach. I don't know. There's a lot of options. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see just how much of this becomes a hybrid of, hey, Andy's got guys in his pipeline that he likes. Steve, you got to deal with that and take them on, coach them up as well, because then it puts that more emphasis on Spagnuolo coaching up his coaches so they can coach up the players.
Yep.
But I do like the fact.
It's going to be fascinating to see is all I'm saying. Because there's a lot of questions with the switch to 4-3. It's not just the players. It's also going to be the coaching staff and what they're good at coaching. And
I will say this for him, despite his up and down, and he has been feast or famine in his DC years. I think that he's going to come into a group of core players that are going to be on this roster on his defense that are hungry and that have gotten that taste of getting so close. And I think that motivation is going to help him, much like it did when he first took over in New York. I feel like that's a positive omen and something that he can work with to his favor. And lastly, I think it's a really good sign that they were able to bring in, no matter who it was, a defensive coordinator that has been successful at times, but has been a head coach as well. Because it just, I always feel like when you bite off the head coaching job and it doesn't work out and you eventually get relieved, when you come back down to just running one side of the ball, I feel like that's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, a release of pressure. Spagnuolo's been out of the league for a year. He's had some time off. He should be fresh. I feel like this is something that is a situation that he can make the most of.
I definitely agree. It's going to be very interesting to watch the Chiefs over the next couple of days because there's going to be announcements made. Obviously, I think Spagnuolo is probably announced on Friday. Maybe after, or maybe before you're listening to this episode, it's possible he's already been announced. I do believe that it's also going to be announced whether they're going to be running a 3-4 or 4-3, probably when they get, when they do that interview, when they announce him as the DC. And then you're going to start seeing changes. And, you know, we're going to have you covered. We're going to have a lot of information going on once it comes up. We will be back on Monday with a new show, and hopefully we have a lot more answers for you, but we'll just have to see what comes out this weekend when it comes to them announcing the DC and how much he actually gets to talk.
I agree. I'll be very interested to see and confirm what I think is going to happen. But when we do get that, folks, we'll let you know. In the meantime, we want to say thank you to all of our new listeners. There's been a ton of you lately, and it's great to see. If you have feedback for us, please leave us an iTunes review. For all of you that have, we very much appreciate it. We're always trying to make this show better. We are going to be with you all off season. Rain, shine, Senior Bowl, Combine, Draft, OTAs, we got you. Me, Chris, Seth, we will be here with varying opinions, I'm sure, now. So thank you for all of your time and your input this season. And here we go for 2019.
And don't forget, I was just going to say, and don't forget, we'll have Matt Derrick as well, because I'm sure he's going to be on a lot this summer.
Oh, Matt and his opinions. Yeah. We're going to get the inside scoop from him as much as we can. And it's going to be interesting.
And I'm pretty sure that we're going to have Therese on again at some point in the near future. So be looking for that. We have a couple of other guests we're working on as well.
So stay tuned. We have plenty coming for you. We appreciate your time and we'll talk to you next week. Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.